What I know fully know is that Joseph, Madinesha, and his mother, it's also within the disability sector. So, that is just my mom, it's my mom, it's my mom. I don't know if there are other things that come with technology from the TV. So, meaning that technology is the same as the TV. Maybe that's going to be the one where it changes here. At the moment, you're still in that thing to introduce you. Do you still have copies of this, Elena?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so I want to take that to you next week. For the first one. So that again, how long will you discuss the joint session coming in?
What about digitalized centers?
No, I'm actually, yesterday we had a test on an interview. We didn't have to change the question.
Yeah.
Today we got two things. The first one is Joseph. Everything is new. And what I know is that I just don't have to go through the TV. And what I know is that
it's
from the disability.
I don't have the TV.
Here's the TV.
Good morning.
Okay,
welcome to Parliament for this interview for the Public Service Commission. The very first thing, I just want you to become comfortable, relaxed, And then once you are relaxed enough, tell us so that you can proceed with the interview. But I'll get an indication from you if you're fine. And you need some more time, you need something else before we start.
I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. Now we just did that so that because you know that an interview is just for us to interact freely and easily. Just to get the kind of information that you want for the sake of facilitating the panel and this interview and to ensure that you get the correct candidate. We are welcoming you again and we thank you for being here. We hope that you will assist us with all the responses that you will be looking for. What I will do, I will introduce the panelists that will be interviewing you. But I'll start with the parliament staff. From the Office on Institutions Supporting Democracy in Makoshi Sini, do you introduce the panelists? Okay.
Kaya Zweli.
Kaya Zweli. Yes, Kaya. Kaya Zweli, we know we've got an office here in Parliament. It's under the Deputy Speaker. So it is the Institution Supporting Democracy. It's the Office of Institution Supporting Democracy. It's for the institution, the Chapter 9 and Chapter 10, and therefore Kaya is from there and they provide advice as a whole when we deal with matters like this. So you're not really interviewing you that one. And then here again we've got, this is Mlungisi Biela, he's a committee researcher. This is Zola Weiss, I'm sure you have talked to her when she was arranging for the interviews. Zola is the secretary for the portfolio committee, this one, public service and administration, because it's the one that conducts the interviews with this panel here. Then this is Julius Mwepe. Julius is the content advisor. And I'm Joyce Muloi Moropa, the chair of this panel and the committee. This is Honorable Mohali, and that is Honorable Msima, and that is Honorable Didoy. So Honorable Didoy, Honorable Msima, Honorable Mohali, and Muloi Moropa will be conducting the interview. Yes, and also a well-led TMG for just recording the process of the letter taking place. Don't have the name at the moment. Okay, so we will be starting. We have started yesterday with our interviews, so this is the second and the last day of the interviews. And we've noticed that you came earlier and then your time, and we appreciate that. So, you know, as a start, I would just like you to do a formal introduction to us. We've seen your CV, just giving us the details so that we know you much more better. And then after that introduction, you can tell us that the background and the experience that you have in your CV, how can it assist with the Public Service Commission. Over to you, Joseph.
Thank you, Honorable Members. I appreciate and I really, really appreciate the opportunity given to me to come in front of you and sell myself slightly and more in this regard. My name is Joseph Rimaba. I started my career in 1980 in the private safety industry as a training manager. That's where I started interacting with a number of people where my role was specifically to ensure the running of a company in the school that is looking at the training of personnel and also assisting with matters relating to the regulations of event security, that is the company in the present industry. After that I joined the University of Victoria as a tutor. It was just a 9 months program. That was just to ensure that I attained adequate skill in what I was doing, that is industrial sociology, because I was preparing myself to study for a master's degree in that. While doing that at the University of Victoria, I luckily enough joined the Department of Labour as a practitioner. That's where I came into contact with the public sector itself and public administration. And that's where I I was more involved in doing researches, main surveys and reporting. From there I was promoted within the same department, but in Ibobo as assistant director, doing the same activities on another level. So it was more of monitoring now, monitoring the performance of labor centers and even visiting points. From there, I got promotion again as a deputy director, where I became more involved now in monitoring and evaluation, drafting performance reports, coming up with performance reports, strategic plans and annual performance plans. That's the activity that I'm still doing now, and I'm currently acting as a director of training, monitoring, evaluation in the department. Having said that, and looking at the position that was advertised, looking at issues within the position themselves, the issue of monitoring and evaluation came handy. And one looked at not only at that issue of monitoring, but also on the issue of reporting, whereby the need to interact with coal face service delivery points became important as I time and again interacting with labor centers, interacting with provincial offices, visiting points, and this will surely assist the Public Service Commission, and also the issue of research. As you saw with my CV, I had a master's in industrial social where I did more of function quality and advanced research, and I'm currently doing a D-Lit, that's PhD to put symbol in industrial sociology at the University of South Africa, where I'm just waiting for my results in the proposed model, which maybe one can get them during the course of the week or next week. With that knowledge and taking again the experience that I gained within the environment, the projects that I did within the environment, projects like where one looked into the issues of race relations in the environment, as I was at a point trying to do a search on race relations in the environment, looking at the issues of impact of trainings offered by teachers almost before they moved to the Department of Education or the Department of Labor, and they were offering training. So one was has students for to be taught determining the extent and evaluation the extent to which that training is useful to the public. So that's the experience I think one will bring within the Public Service Commission. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me allow Honorable Mohali to proceed to the question.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And the delegate, could you please explain to this panel your understanding of the basic values and principles governing public administration?
The basic values and principles governing public service, those are issues pertaining to, one, issues of integrity, issues of honesty, accountability, issues of transparency, which one can always and further work at the issues of personal practices, in the sense of you look at how issues pertaining to efficient and effective service delivery coming into being. So these are the issues of the public service.
Then how can you advise the administration in every sphere of government, organs of state, public enterprise, on how to efficiently and effectively implement the basic values and principles of Chapter 10 of the Constitution?
The important thing is advising comes from issues of involvement. by research. Research is the basic thing. Research doesn't necessarily mean a school work or something, but participation, public participation, whereby you time and again look at what is really happening in the society vis-à-vis what is happening in a particular department or savings department, because these are the corporate related departments. So while we go deep into ensuring that one does research, one does investigation, one does issues of monetary compliance within the sphere of public service. And by so doing, you write, you know, on articles. Because I know there's a saying that if you want to hide any information from people, just put it right. But I think that's an old language. Because today, we have people who are reading a lot. So the more we write, the more we investigate, the more we interact with the society out there, and even government departments, and the more we come back, you know, sit down around the table as the Public Service Commission, I think that's where we will be helpful.
Thank you,
sir.
Honorable Mahali, Professor.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'd like to take Mr. Lidoa back to the first question when you were selling yourself. You touched on some of the functions of the public service. You talked about the values and principles about investigating, reporting, and so on. Now, I want us to focus on practice. On the ground, how would you score the public service? Are there successes? Are there failures? How are they doing? How are they implementing very noble functions?
On the ground, the public service is in between. As long as you see challenges or people picketing, complaining about service delivery, this has got a lot of saying in it. So personally, I would say, the public service is not there in the score of, let's say, between 1 and 5, and whereby 5 is excellent. I'll say 3, because at the moment we are more of a complying to, you know, PFMA, because we know the Chancellor has got money, so we want that money. We have to comply so that we do not be seen not to be complying. Yes, we are not yet there, but now, the issue is, it lies within the strategies, if one can go on the strategies, the implementation of the strategy vis-à-vis the structures that we have in public services. You find that there's a disjunction between the strategy and the structure, whereby at the end of the day, you find that a person heading, maybe there's an executive also, is well aware and understand the strategy. But the person at the court is doing the actual job, who should be approaching the department, doesn't have the same objective or the same idea about the strategy of the public service. So my score will be at around 3.
Thank you very much. And that's what this is. Look at public service, we should define it. We compare it with chapter 9. We can say there are any relationships, we can say there are any overlap. And so how would you deal with it? How would you bring the things together?
There are overlaps. And luckily enough, which is the same iman at the moment. Because one at the other hand is saying, look, these are rules and regulations on which we should value ourselves and we should provide services. The other one say, look, I'm going to take from those rules and regulations to come up with activities. So the best thing is to ensure continuous I'm going to call it MOUs, because if you talk about memorandum of understanding, something else. Continuous engagement but at the level of, for example, you have public services for issues of DBDX, Department of Burning Cancers. You find that in those Department of Burning Cancers, you don't really see issues of administration rate articulated to in totality. Whereby we need those other doctrinal organizations to come in and say, look, here is the road that needs to be taken, and here's where we should fall. Then that participation, you know, should also involve in the public outside. The public, you talk about civil society, you talk about maybe unions to an extent. So I think that will help. But as I said, there is a synergy so far.
Thank you.
Hello,
Hello, yes.
Although the Constitution makes a vision for a stronger role of the PSC upholding principles of public administration, I'm still worried that personnel procedures relating to recruitment, transfers, promotions, etc., and dismissals comply with the value and principles. Okay, I'm worried about that. So, how do you think you can assist the PSC to ensure that government departments appoint competent public servants, especially at senior management level positions?
Thanks. You know, before starting answering the question, it's an interesting issue that remains a core problem in public service, yes. And that, again, also relates to the issues of leadership. And leadership vis-a-vis, you know, managing from behind, those who manage, who are doing the core work. So, improving that as a public service commission, you know, I know the public service commission is just there to advise and to promote all those. But the fact is, now we are entering a stage whereby advising should not be only in writing or requesting reports from the government departments, as is the case now. Be involved. I mean, let's have a strategic objective, which is, we'll have a measurable objective. Within every government department strategic plan and annual performance plan, that talks to those issues. To say, look, if as an executive authority, you are unable or there are complaints come our way regarding this, we are scoring you down. And that issue now will be taken to the national treasury, the financial. And we say, look, let's have a relationship that will ensure that there is this accountability. There is this, you know, because we cannot dwell on this thing of always redistributing merit in government departments. That's why we have this problem of service deliveries, strikes, and people complaining, and people not pay the right salaries, and that's why we also need to have a talent scout within each and every government department. Let's establish that, and let's advise government departments to say, look, it is not necessarily a recruitment plan as a such, but simply say, within your department, identify the talent that you have, and after identify that talent, let's interpret that talent. Is it more on information technology? Is it, what is it all about? And is it relevant to department? Then link government departments. I think we come to a situation whereby government departments you should no longer operate independently. And that's why you need a strong backup in research, in health issues. But working for the Department of Labor, for example, should be maybe be transferred to the Department of Health, as is in that regard. That's where the PSC comes in to say, guys, we identify these gaps and we did our own research, you gave us your own report, So it goes back to that issue of interaction and increasing that participation of government departments, not only at the level of the executive authority. Because the challenge that I see now is the Public Service Commission is more of a reactive. I know that there are times when the commission is proactive, but in most instances it's reactive, waiting for cases or the form that circulates around saying how many cases do you have, how many cases. Let's not dwell on that anymore. Let's go into a department that involves all stakeholders. Government departments have, through the EPSA, what you call, time again, whether we've been employed for a long time or not, but you are taken through the systems and the best of the department. Let's be involved during that phase time and again at the PSC. Let's not sit back. Thank you.
The National Development Plan highlights the political administrative interference in the public service. Okay, that's, I know it's a thick document, but that's just repeating it so you are aware of it. From a practical point of view and with your experience, what is the cause of that perceived political interference into the administration?
I'll give two dimensions. And actually turning up perception. Perception is the inability for the public to distinguish between public administration and public service. That's the first one. The second one is the issue of lack of understanding when we come to capable developmental state. That in itself is a concept that needs to be clarified. Not only that people should go and read and understand and go through that. We talked about UNPs, we talked about but that kind of developmental state whereby people at the end of the day needs to, be able to go to a particular department. And talking about this, I'm so happy that we even have the so-called anti-corruption hotlines, the president's hotline and these hotlines in some of government departments. So I think in a way we try to talk to that issue of capable developmental state whereby all citizens of the country will be able to be involved in the uprunning of the society or the country. So those are the core things. The one is more of a perception, yes. The other one is what is clearly articulated within the NDP, this one of capable developmental state.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, proceed, my member.
Yes. Do you think that the PSC, being a custodian of good governance, could minimize political interference into the administration which affects service delivery as a result?
I believe so, sir. Especially given one was lately looking at the change management, they call it in Salero, I hope I'm not calling that, I'm using the right concept. The culture we inculcate within the PC itself, that of independence. Not say that we PLC do not report to government, but simply say if the PSC is independent itself, yes, it will assist a lot in that issue.
All right. Now, thank you, honorable members. Before we conclude, just one question that one needs to find out from your responses when the members were engaging you. Sometimes we get reports from the Public Service Commission which reflect non-compliance from the side of government. This is an example that I can give you, friend, that
people are supposed to disclose in terms of their businesses, then there's a deadline, pass it comes to us, and now have to fight with the chief authorities. Or sometimes when that government did not comply on a target they put themselves, can give the credit of a 2% for disability report, and you find that they haven't complied. And in terms of those are the expectations that they will come to us and start to fight. I just need to end up from a side. Firstly, what do you think causes such a non-compliance? And as a person who might be the commissioner, how best can you assist in that area?
Thanks. Non-compliance is usually caused by nothing will happen to me if I don't do 1, 2, 3. The public, you know, when you talk about a public service, unfortunately we're talking about a number of people in an environment, and whereby you cannot go and specifically, especially at a PSC, go and deal with a specific person and say you fail to disclose. You still have to go through that channel of an executive authority. You know, the channel that we use, as I alluded to earlier, that the issue of being reactive. So how to deal with this issue? Now, I think it goes back to, you know, coming together with basically the EPSA, which has got the Civil Recruitment Plan, and the National Treasury, and the EPE. Because these are the three core departments at the moment, which talks to the EPSA talks about SDIP, the other two, EPE and National Treasury, they talk about strategic plan and annual performance plan. Let us have that communication that will ensure that as a measurable objective, a particular department has got those issues, we measure them annually. And failure to do that, now it's not coming only as a PSC issue. It goes also as a non-performance in the case of National Treasury and the EPME. So that's where as a commissioner, or not as a commissioner per se, but the Public Service Commission itself needs to interrogate the possibility of such alliance. Thank you.
Taking into consideration the view of the National Development Plan, what could be your strategy to implement the recommendations on the appointment of administrative heads to the public service? If you're not familiar with it, I'll forgive you that question. It's not critical. I don't expect you to recite everything, you know. It's just a line of thought. But from your experience, and that one is my important one, is what are the major factors that contribute to the high turnover of administrative heads? And how does turnover impact on the performance of the departments? If you can give us a practical example. I'll repeat anything if you want. If you don't remember, Mr. Mouse, I won't be able to.
Lucky enough, I
think
my memory still active. Talking about I'll start with the issues of the high turnover, or the cause of the high turnover. One is the issue of remuneration that is given to head of department. I mean, if you come to a public service and they say, look, you are remunerated monthly at this rate, you can just relax and do your work, it diminishes ability to perform. That's the first thing. It diminishes the intent to be creative. The second one is an issue of, you alluded to it earlier, to appease political view. You know, it's unfortunate that who are still in the environment whereby performance is all about still attaching a social being. So that you know, in the minister language, I'll say, you must be loyal to me. If you are not loyal to me, then your future is at stake. You know, those are the issues. And the third one, which becomes critical, I think, which is very much important, is the situation whereby, and I mentioned it, earlier, when I talk about the issue of the strategy of environment, that is not linking to the structure, that is not linking to study, and that is also not linking to anything that is objective of the environment. In that, it makes that head of department become a cumbersome somebody who cannot be, you know, competent. And at my age and in my year, I would prefer to see myself, you know, making a change. But if I see that I'm not making that change, obviously that will be the case. Because what I'm going to see happening are the issues of laziness, are the issues of corruption, that we won't have a say into them because the structure doesn't allow that. Remember, even the labor relations environment, it is such that, you know, we even go to bargaining council immediately, as long as I'm not able to do something, and there will always be a clause that will cover my behavior, which is antisocial within a particular government department. So those are the issues that, you know, I include in themselves to the head of departments.
Thank you. I'll take the first one to your refresh your memory. Taking into consideration the view of NDP, what would be your strategy to implement the recommendations of NDP on appointment of administrative heads throughout the public service?
Sorry,
did you hear that? Because I didn't hear one. Did you hear that?
I heard that, sir. Thank you for that. That one, I'm just going to just touch on one aspect. That is, you know, capacity building. I just want to deal much with that. Because, you know, if we have a capacity person or the environment is conducive for that capacity building of head of departments, that can assist a lot in that regard.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm happy.
Just the last question, if you can be able to tell us in terms of the Public Service Commission as it stands at the moment, how do you think they're going to contribute to it?
My contribution will be more on issues pertaining to, you know, monitoring and evaluation. No, I'm looking specifically at that issue, whereby, you know, I know the Commission has been coming up with documents, researches, what does this the annual report and the issues that are coming up. So contribution will be more into the using the scale of being involved at the core phase of service delivery, bringing that into the Commission and looking how we can creatively, but within the law, you know, increase that dimension of public participation to ensure that monitoring doesn't only become the responsibility of the Public Service Commission. Government partners, together with the public, can monitor themselves. You come up with a template, what is it in a legal term, or language called a template, or a new way, or a format that will guide that type of communication. And in so doing, you're tending into that issue of saying, if there's increased public participation in the departments, that public participation will assist in the issue of monitoring, then the role of PSC That becomes more of evaluating what the department said as a goal. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Madime Baba, for responding to all the questions that we posed to you. At this moment, we just need to find out from you if there is anything now you want to know from the panel. Is there a question perhaps that you just need to ask?
Not necessarily a question. Just to appreciate once more the opportunity given to me to come and present my story and myself in front of the panel. Thank you.
Now, the sincere appreciation to us as well, because we think the engagement was worthwhile. Thank you for availing yourself, and we still are proceeding with the interviews. We will finalize at the end to see who becomes the commissioner. At this point, it's only one commissioner that you require, because we normally have five national commissioners. I'm sure you've seen that in the constitution, and we have nine commissioners in province. So our responsibility is within the five, and the four are there. We're just interviewing one of the fifth, anyone who makes it, then they become five, and constitutionally and standard, we can be able to make decisions and such. And wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, we had Kima,
the Republic one. Republic is the Bobo, the Sun, the Bobo. I don't
need two.
Yeah, that's
how I was
curious, but you
also from
the Bobo,
huh? Me?
No,
I'm
just a waiter. Yeah, you're right. I think this candidate has a good thing because he's got a solid understanding of his psychology that he's conveyed. He understands that, and I think he's through his work and his founding, starting at the bottom with the security industry, which he had an entry level for anything who had started at the bottom. I think he's gone through this and understands the. I think if you understand the work environment of people right down at the bottom entry level right at the top, I think you have an understanding of that. And I did ask the more difficult questions. I thought to pull out. The last three questions I asked specifically because I thought that there was more in him that he gave out before. And the last three questions really helped me to understand that he knows that he's well. That was my perception. So I'm quite happy with this candidate. I have no problem with him. I have no legal question.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I was very impressed. Chair of really willing, because he's got an academic approach to things. He is putting the theory into practice in his office. So he, in fact, gave us a lot less than he was. But the man is so logical. He doesn't talk a lot like Mr. Mugabe.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good, but he's always to the point. That's by defining the concepts and he's willing to talk about this and this and this is caused by this. So academic in his really. We are in serious trouble because we now have three very strong candidates. We might get a fourth one.
Okay. Well, I believe you are good and
Because his age, he's probably going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
How old is he now? He's born The provincial guy from the Congo that was there. Municipal manager for 4 years and 5 years. So, you know, municipal manager is a good position. It's a type that you, after contract, you would like to go onwards, you know, go further with. So it's high pay, so I don't know why he didn't. I don't know if something went wrong there, I don't know, I'm not sure. But we might have to go into something like that before we make the final decision. Otherwise, if we make a decision and we find a skeleton in the closet, and then we've got egg on our face. But that's why I say I've got nothing against that, what I'm talking about now, the previous one. Because he did give me nice answers, and he comes through, but it's never going to be easy to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that at this point, the question was difficult. And he come out, and I think he's got, what he said also, he analyzes, and then he finds a solution through his emotions, through practicality to get to the answer. So the word that he didn't use himself is that he will have initiative, I believe.
I look at something about the ending.
Yeah.
And he knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
He says he wants to appear more lately.
Yeah.
But he still has an answer.
He's present.
Mm-hmm. And that's under also like
it is.
Okay.
Do we have another one, or this is last?
Let's make it work, because now the guy is just coming in. The one who complains. Let's see another picture.
Commissioner Sita Nifelina Nkosi, you are welcome. Thanks for coming for the interview. Okay. No, welcome again, and thanks for coming. Of course, it's not for the first time we are doing an interview of this nature. We will be conducting this interview, and I will just make a quick introduction of the members that should be doing the interview with you. I'll start with the staff on my left. And then we've got Kaya Reni at the corner in the office of the Institution Supporting Democracy. And you know the office and the deputy speaker. And then the CMG for capturing the proceedings. And then we've got the big name, Mungisi Biela, Marisfetcher, Zola Baez, our committee secretary, Julius Moepe, our content advisor. And then Moloi Moroka, the chair of this panel, and the committee, as you know. We've got Honorable Christina Mahali, We've got Professor Simang, we have Honorable Detoit, so the honorable members will be taking us through this interview. We believe this is going to be the easiest since you are also a fishing commissioner. Till next week, my guys. That's just the last week, it's Friday. But we really welcome you, Omnenkosi. How we're going to start, because you know, as a person in the commission, it's important for us to also get your background from yourself. You know, just take us to see the CV, we know you, and we're not meeting for the first time. Just to give us a background scenario of who Omnenkosi is, and also just to indicate briefly your participation in the commission until now. How are you participating currently? What are you involved in and how do you find it? Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I start by apologizing for the confusion that happened at the airport. So I'm just sorry for that. I ended up delaying the process, hoping that my apology is accepted. I am Selina Sitanenkosi, a commissioner in the Public Service Commission. I started by training to be a teacher. I started teaching in 1980 in one school, in a teacher school, of which I tried to upgrade that school because it was just having grade 1, 2, 3, 4 taught in one class. When I left that school, it had 18 teachers and it was no more a math school. It had 18 classrooms. And I also went to Johannesburg in Rotary Club to get books for the school for the children because they were from a former farm school to let them have some of the things that would make them also feel like human beings and get power with the other children. Then there was a school that was opened, being an English medium school. Then the former Galvani government transferred me to open that school, of which I visited former Model C school to get how do they do things so that I can take the whatever they are doing and bring it back to where I am because it's a semi-rural area. So that was the first English medium school that I opened. Then I ended up having a burnout because I've been the principal for 22 years. So I said, let me take a break. And fortunately, after doing my BA and BEd, I said, I'm now having enough of education, Ryan. Let me now do something that will widen my scope. Then I enrolled for a master's in public administration in the University of Pretoria. Thereafter, I was appointed a provincial manager with 10 South African language, but in Mpumalanga. My office was stationed in Witbank, where we would be the departments because the national language policy was not yet passed, but there were provincial language policies, just like in Mpopo, their official languages was English, Afrikaans, Sepedi, Setswana, and Xitsonga, because they had those five. In Mpumalanga, it was a challenge because we were saying it's Ndebele, Siswati, English, Afrikaans, because we said Sepedi is being catered for in Limpopo, but there was those challenges. So we were going in each, visiting each and every department to check whether they do have language policies, and also that when information is given out to the public, the language that is spoken by the majority has to be used. So after that, then I went to work in agricultural municipality as the director of corporate services, of which I worked there for 2 years. Thereafter, I saw the post advertised for the commission. Then I applied for that one. Then I was appointed. I started working in the commission in 2009. I was appointed as the convener of the Integrity and Anti-Corruption Branch. So I was the convener of that specialist team, of which I brought some changes in that specialist team because first, with the late advocate Malachella, we find out that whenever a report of the Public Service Commission is produced, it will be delivered to the department without engaging with the department. Then we said people don't know about the commission, even the official ones, they see our reports, but let's give the commission a face. Let's go and engage. We started with Northwest. Fortunately, there was an M&E evaluation that was done in all the departments, so we were able to engage with each and every MSC together with the SMS members. Then after that, because I was heading the Integrity and Anti-Corruption Specialist Team, where people were reporting about some alleged corruption suspected, and sometimes about whatever they see that was not good. Then, when I came there, I found out that when they were referring some of these cases to departments, they would attach the letter that had been returned by the complainant. Of which to me I said this one has to stop because we are exposing this person. Although this person has written this anonymously, but each and every person has got his own writing style, his own English, where he put the is and has and the she's. Immediately they see the letter, they will know that it's Sitame who has reported this matter. And we are exposing this person to occupational detriment. Then I said, this has to stop. What we do, we have to summarize whatever the allegation is and send it to the department. That way we are protecting the complainants. Then the other things that we did introduce, there was a lot of backlog with the National Anti-Corruption Hotline cases. Departments were not giving us feedback. Then I said, how do we improve this situation? Because since I came, I find out that it's 30% feedback and the number of cases closed is very, very minimum. Then I proposed that let's visit this department. Then together with the officials, we came with what we call surprise audits, surprise visit, although it was not surprise in a real sense, because we said, if you surprise them in a real sense, you'll find out they'll say the investigator is not here, the DG is not here, so-and-so is not here, so we cannot give you the documents. So that increased the number of feedback and the number of cases closed. Because when we visited this department, we find out that sometimes there are cases finalized, but we're not given feedback as the Public Service Commission. Then the other thing, we started with the reviewing of business processes. First you find that a file will be prepared, a red file, that has to be couriered to each and every commissioner in the specialist team. Then I said, we are now in a technologically advanced stage where we can email or do whatever, so that whatever we want to send to commissioners, they can receive immediately. So what I did, when a submission comes to me that is from the French IAC, I would request the drafter or the supervisor to send an electronic version that would be from my office to the rest of the specialist team members. And that assisted because they could respond at the same time. Then the other thing that we did is we are having this business review processes where now, instead of documents going to each and every individual commissioner, we have a committee that meets monthly to discuss cases that have been finalized by the officials, where we give our inputs, because in the past it would take time, because each and every commissioner would comment individually on a case. After that, I would collate all the comments given or inputs given by the other commissioners. Then I would send it back to the officials. The officials will address the comments. Then if they would come back to me, and I would send back to the commissioners to say, may you please verify whether your comments have been addressed adequately. Then we said, this is also a delaying tactic. Let's now have this CCC case conference committee meetings where we meet as commissioners, officials present a case to us, we discuss the case, When we are satisfied, we close it there and there. When we are not satisfied, we say go back and address 123. Then that also makes the work easier even for the officials. So I'm busy with that now because we have piloted that one for the past 6 months, of which now we came to a time where I said, let's review it, if it's working or not. What are the blockages that we have to unblock so that we move forward? Because the intention was to fast track the finalization of cases. So now I'm at the time where we are reviewing that business processes. So those are some of the things that I have introduced in the commission. And okay, because I'm working with investigators, so that I can, whenever I'm advising them, I have to do it from an informed side. I even enrolled for a course in forensic investigation. Although some said, why are you doing it? Because you are a commissioner, you don't need to do this. I said, because I'm leading this team of investigators, I also have to be knowledgeable.
Thanks, ma'am. Honorable Mahali, would you like to proceed with questions? Okay. Thank you, Chair. Black and Mingo. The National Development Plan highlighted the political administrative interference in the public service. From a practical point of view, and with your experience as a commissioner, what causes the perceived political interference into the administration?
I think that we were happy, first as a commission, we were happy when the term of office, the tenure of DGs were extended from 3 years to 5 years, because it was because of the consultative report that we as PSC produced. So now the NDP used also that report where we proposed the appointment of a head of administration that will take care of the PGs. So what I can say, when we look, is that sometimes when somebody comes in, he comes with his own vision and plans that he wants to implement. Then here is this DG who has been there, who still thinks that things have to be done according to his will. So then it ends up being a clash between the two. This one is having this vision and this one is having this vision. So the two cannot come together. And sometimes it ends up, because from the start of the thing, you find that people are working okay. But as time goes on, the relationship starts now to go haywire. Sometimes it's personal attitudes, or sometimes it's office-related. You end up not knowing. That's why what we can say is it's best if this head of administration is appointed, so that he can be the one who, where HODs have got issues to raise, they cannot complain to the EA, because sometimes it's the EA that made them to complain, that they are aggrieved about. So if this head of administration is appointed, he will be looking at all issues that has to do with HODs, so that then us as Public Service Commission, because we are this independent body, we can then come in also, because as of now, we receive grievances from HODs and DGs. But when now we want to engage with the EAs, we get something different. Sometimes we will say, EA, we request this document, then the EA will say, we've extradited it to the presidency, so it's no more in your hands. So I think if we had someone who's appointed to deal with the interface, that would assist. Because as of now, they start working good, but as time goes on, then there are problems that develop. You end up not knowing what really causes this thing, to say that politicians are interfering in their work. Because when you ask, you will not get the exact information. To say, I am saying my EA is interfering because he gave me this unlawful instruction, of which he said I have to tell. But then I said, no, according to the PFMA, I must not do this. They don't come out clear even if you meet them. But I think that the political interface that is there needs to be the way that it has to improve. But I think the appointment of the administrative will improve the interface.
So if I understand you correctly, you are saying the appointment of the head of administration will minimize the political interference.
The interface, because the relationship, it's an issue of a relationship that is causing some of the problems, like also as people, because the media is there and some of the things between them. But to me, if there is somebody who is acquainted to deal with this, whenever HOD has grievances or whatever is there, they would know that where to take that. Then there will be this line functioning to say, if we receive this from the head of state, from where to take it now. Because as of now, there's a lot that is happening there that we don't know how to solve it.
Thank you for that. The NDP recommended the strengthening of the oversight role of the Public Service Commission by requiring departments to respond to each proposal. Experience tells us that organizations resist change. How best can Section 195(2) be enforced to implement Public Service Commission recommendations drawn from various reports produced? What could be your strategy in enforcing them?
First, we saw as a commission that when we make recommendations to departments, because recommendations may be implemented, the word may, it means it gives the person to say, I can or I cannot. So we said, we came with a decision to say that this, because the constitution said we can give directions, which is binding to the department. Let's, when it's HR related, let's not give recommendations to the department. Let's give directions, because the constitution mandates departments to implement whatever direction is being given by the commission. So we said we're moving from recommendations to directions. Then what we see as enforcing, that's why we also propose the amendment of the Public Service Commission Act, where we made the proposal, where we said we need to give directives now, because directives carry more weight, regarding the 9 principles that we promote as Public Service Commission. Although now there were views that we are asking for more power than what the Constitution gave us from the word go. But we will still pursue that, because we have seen that directives carry more weight. We have received the comments when it went for public comments. We are still going to address that as a commission, but we are still determined to say that for us to be taken serious by EAs, let's have directives, because they are binding.
It is evident that the provincial legislators do not feel the existence of the Public Service Commission. How would you ensure that the work of the Public Service Commission is well marketed at the legislatures?
Thank you, Ma. And when there was no commissioner in Northwest, I was requested to go and make a presentation about the reports of the Public Service Commission. When we were making reports there, then there was one member who said, we need something province-specific. Because I tried to explain to say that just like this report, profiling and analysis of common investigation of corruption in the public service. We sampled departments, but as an oversight committee, you can use our findings to go to your department to check whether they are not falling short also of what we have said is our findings. When I went back to the commission to report, I said I went to Northwest, people out there, they want something province specific. They want something that will assist them in paying this oversight. Then we came with a barometer and we have presented that in KZN, and on the 24th of March it will be presented in Northwest, and we went also to Housing. We call it stakeholder engagement. That's where now we are marketing PSC. We use the 9 values and have indicators. And we don't only use reports from the PSC, we also use the AG, just like in the values, section 195, where they talk about efficient and effective economic use of resources. We take the AG's report there to look whether objectives, predetermined objectives have been achieved, or money was used for other things, but the three objectives were not achieved. So we have started marketing the PSC, we have started engaging the legislature. In Mpumalanga also we did that. They were so excited because now it gives them an overview of the performance in their different departments. When we were in Gauteng, I was a program director there, chair of chair there, Mrs. Lihuku, said we need also to give recommendations in whatever findings. We need to give strong recommendations for them to be able to go back to the department to say, how far are you implementing this recommendation of the PSC? We've started, now they are giving us.
Okay, Professor Antonan?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. What I would like to know is, what are the major factors that contribute to heighten over administrative debt, and how does turnover impact on the performance of the department? If you could give us some practical examples, please.
Some practical examples is just that because we are not forming part of the appointment of DGs like in the olden days where the PSC was part of the appointment. So we don't know what happens when these people are appointed. But what we have seen, we also had a report about the high turnover rate of HODs. They do impact the department's performance because this person is coming having a plan and a vision to say, I want to implement this, then trouble starts, then the person is suspended or the person is deployed somewhere. Then now the department is left without a caseload. So the performance of the department will not be that much good because every time there's somebody acting who is not having this long-term plan, who is just sitting there for compliance sake, so that there has to be somebody signing, there has to be somebody doing 1, 2, 3. So to me, we need to improve on that. Just like, because we do visit other countries to make some studies, to say that we are losing this pool of people who are well experienced, who could take our departments further so that they improve in delivering services to the people. Because with the parliament, you can have policies, best policies, but the problem is with the implementers, who is the bureaucrat. If these people are not staying long in their posts, we will not be seeing any changes, but we will keep on saying we are having these policies. But why is this not happening? Because people there don't stay long. And it's not, to be a DG is not a career of choice to others because you don't know how long will you be there in that field. So we have to make it a career of choice and use these people somewhere where we feel that they will add value and improve. The high turnover rate is what makes, because if you can get the statistics, you can see that in some departments, within 5 years, five HOD have been in that post. We need to improve on that. I think sometimes the School of Governance will also assist so that these people with their wealth of experience can be doing career development of others, so that if somebody is, there is somebody who's qualified to do the work, who has been an understudy also. Because we, as of now, they leave, then the department starts not performing. Just like when you find out the budget has been used, but the objectives and the output is not there, then it shows that something is not right.
Thank you very much. Let's move now to the other institutions which are related to your institution. I mean here the Chapter 9 institution. What are the relationships between Chapter 9 institution and the Public Service Commission of Chapter 10? And what can we do about the overlap? And what can we do to improve the collaboration between the two?
Thank you, Bamusimango. With the Chapter 9 and 10 institutions, first of all, we have started what we call Forum of Institutions Supporting Democracy. On the 30th of March, there was a task given to Human Rights Commission to say, let them look at the overlaps so that we can identify where we can work in collaboration. But before that, as PSC, we went to the PEP Public Protector because we all investigate. But the mandate of the PEP, because it's a she now, she investigates any corner in state affairs that is considered to be improper or that will lead to prejudice or impropriety. So we said, because we are all investigating and people are reporting to us, let's have an MOU. We are having an MOU with the Public Protector, of which we were reviewing it, and we said the chair must not sign it before we meet with the Public Protector. Because in that MOU with the Public Protector, we said we are all investigating. We need to avoid duplication. Because your mandate is very wide, investigate cases from the public and also cases that have to do with political office errors. We will investigate cases of public servants. That's what we did with the MOU. But it's not working because we are the ones that refer cases to us. Then you find out that also cases of officials are being investigated. That's why now we said, let's review this MOU, let's have the Public Protector check, don't sign this revised one until we meet, because it seems as if we are the only one that submits. Because in that MOU, we even said we have to collaborate in some of the cases. There was a case in Limpopo where it was reported to them and asked. Then we met with the officials, because I'm leading the investigation, and say, because this case has been reported to you and us, to avoid duplication, what do we do? Then they said, we will investigate the corruption-related cases. You, as PSC, you will investigate the HR-related issues. So we do work in some, but most of the time it's us referring cases to them. But we are renewing the process. With the AG also, we are having an MOU. With them, we said we will collaborate because they work with financials and we work with human resource issues. And also, we also work with compliance because now they are also doing performance audits. That's why we said we need to work with them. With them, we are not having a challenge. Wherever there is something that we want to refer to them, they do refer. We do refer to them. And also they use our reports in some of their findings. So that relationship with that one is still okay. And we, as I said in the start, that they have started to say, because our chairperson is now the chairperson of the forum, to say that let's look at over that. So we are, they are now taking care of that as a collaborative thing. All the institutions have been given tasks to say just go and have a look at the overlap so that we avoid duplication, because we have limited resources so that we can use them optimally.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Ma'am, my questions, of course, it actually tries to make them more difficult because you know, you know so much, I don't know what to ask you. I'll just try and rephrase some of them so it can fit in with the answers you've already given. The appointment of competent public servants, especially at senior management level positions, I would like to see if you can just perhaps give me some view what how you would see it. And then because we are thinking about the government is thinking about extending your mandate the mandate down to the local level, if there's any view you would have on ensuring that the appointment of competent public service at senior level and other levels of government is also coming to the front.
When I work in local government, and I always tell them that nobody will seek local government unless it's somebody who has been there, who has experienced what is happening. When I came, we sampled the appointment of Section 57 employees, the ones that is under the municipal mandate. But because of the issue of mandate, you have mandate, you don't have mandate, and we are having five legal opinions, different legal opinions from senior counsel, whether we have mandate or not. Because to us, I see the work that we do, we could assist local government if we could go there. Because as of now, I can take an example where a teacher who has been teaching economics has been appointed as a CFO, the way we would come in. Because this person yes was teaching accountants and economics, but you cannot take him to be a CFO. You need experience. You cannot buy experience anywhere. You need to work in order to grow in that position. If we would say no relaxation of requirements for a post, because now you will find out we will be late to say a degree, national diploma or any relevant experience, and that creates a problem. How is the qualification relevant to the post? Because we know that we need somebody who has got 1, 2, 3. If we could address that we address our HR plans, we address that compliance, that each and every job that has to be filled or advertised, let it be JE'd, so that we can know that this job carries this weight and it has to be remunerated at this amount, so that the money that is equal the value. Because as of now, each and every department just put its own requirements when they identify the post. In the case we are investigating, somebody is at a chief director level, but the qualifications don't, then I add a support to people go to school, if somebody can be paid this, whereas this is the level of education that the person is having. If just like when they were proposing this centralization of things, not that they were taking the power, but we would be having uniform standards that is applicable to the whole public service. Because these people, even in local government, they receive their money from the National Revenue Fund. Why do we treat them differently? To say, okay, now we concentrate, because we have a lot of cases of irregular appointments where there is a relaxation of requirements. But this one, they are doing as they please. That's why I said when I came with it and thought on just to sample it because of capacity constraints, to say let's look at the qualifications of people working in local government. I think if we can assist there, we would make a dent because processes are not at national or provincial, are at local level because we have the IDP, which is a wish list, and most of these things that are in the IDP are things that are abandoned. We've got the Minister of Infrastructure grant, but we end up sending money back to National Treasury because people did not spend, they don't have the necessary qualifications. To say, because when I was waiting, we said, before the end of financial year, in local government, it ends 30 June. How about, because the IDP has already been approved, how about starting in May to advertise for consultants to prepare the specifications, then waiting for July, where the process will start in September, it's almost 3 months gone down the line. So if we can just correct the issue of appointments in local government, have the same uniform standards just like we do in public service as it is now, I think there's a lot that can be improved. Because when you gave us, I was happy, although now disappointed. When you proposed that we need to go to local government, then we said, oh, the term bill will assist us. But now, when we were in plenary, one commissioner said, I've re-looked at the PEM bill, that part is no more there of us going to local government. Then we said, because we have started preparing to say that we even asked money from Treasury, of which now we have strengthened capacity in the provinces. We have employed more people in the provinces because we were preparing for us going to local government. So now when they said that part is no more there, then we said, what now? But we will be making some presentations to the committee. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I see it's on the program, so we might want to take notice of it. But should I've also been in local government for 10 years, so I know exactly what you're saying. Thank you. You're well versed in the challenges of fraud, corruption, mismanagement, what you said. I'm not going to repeat any of that, but I just want to know, in your opinion, what would be the overlap functions of the proposed or coming in being of the Anti-Corruption Bureau with the CSC on corruption? What would be those overlap functions? And if you could give me some view how you would approach it if you were to steer this, because I can see you're a woman that wants to take the horse and let it run.
What you can do, the commissioner is that you also fill in the question as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the anti-corruption unit is also located in Public Service Commission. Give me an opinion if you think it is a correct location and how do you think it's going to work moving forward. I know that in terms of the part of the aspect that we say with the independent bill is the issue that the Honourable Member is raising at the moment. Just to give us your thinking around the issue of the coordination of the aspect of anti-corruption. Considering the department, yourself, and also remembering that there is also security class.
What I would say, I attended a presentation of the National, of the Anti-Corruption Bureau. Now it's having a long name. I was trying to say PED, whatever, but I could not come out with an acronym. Because they said the security cluster raises some concern about the word Anti-Corruption Bureau. So now it's having a long name. Because when the presentation was made here in Parliament, I attended then, I searched to doctor, I won't mention the name, to say that it means you don't understand what we do as Public Service Commission. About what you said, just saying the public service plays an oversight role, forgetting that we were given through a CAB memo to manage National Anti-Corruption Hotline, where people report anonymously. And if now we are going to have this bureau, where are you going to get the cases? Because people out there will be confused. they will not be knowing whether to report to the Public Service Commission and to that. What I can say is that most of the time, as Public Service Commission, we produce good reports making our findings and recommendations. But instead of strengthening the public service by giving it more resources, then another department will come in. And that does not address the root cause. Just like when we say in the profiling and analysis of common manifestation of corruption, that report, we mentioned clearly, we stated clearly that yes, there is the minimum anti-corruption capacity, the directive of DPSA, that instructed department, all departments to have an investigative unit. But that was not done. Some departments do have and some does not have. Then we said there is no investigative capacity. Instead of us going back to departments to say, departments, create funded posts of investigators to build this investigative capacity in your department so that whenever cases are referred back to you to investigate, you are able to investigate. But unfortunately, we come with something that we think that it will address first. First it was SACO. Then it died a slow death and we did not know what happened to it. Then now the Anti-Corruption Bureau. So to us, we need to address the root cause. We wanted to have a meeting, but it kept on being postponed to say we are having issues as Public Service Commission. We have been playing long in the field since 2004. These are the challenges that we are having. How do we address them? Then when looking at it, then we saw, okay, now they are saying they are even quoting the public service report. Now they are saying they will assist departments in dealing with disciplinary cases effectively and fast instead of disciplinary cases taking long. So now their strength was now on disciplinary cases, and they even said they were going to provide presiding officers to departments. There will be this pool in DPSA under that unit, where now each and every department that is having challenges with people to preside over cases, then they would source them here. Then we said, okay, it means now they will assist us because even grievances and all those things take much to be addressed because they are going to assist departments with disciplinary cases. There is an overlap. We wanted to meet with them. Then it was said it's put on hold because the security guard is having some problem with the West Anti-Corruption Bureau. So we still said we pursue that. Even if you can check our minutes, they said it's in the basket of issues that have to be discussed with the minister. So that when we meet with the minister, we need to come out. How do we deal with this? Because we'll end up confusing people out there, not knowing what it is that we need to report to the PSE, what it is that we need to report to DPSE.
Okay, quite briefly, just looking at time and the information that is really coming before us. Just again, briefly, the relationship between the Public Service Commission and the department, and newly established, of course, that deals with performance monitoring and evaluation and your thinking and moving forward.
To me, one thing that is clear about the difference, although there's a thin line, you'll see me when I'm explaining some of the things, is the mandate. Because we promote the 9 principles, values, constitutional, CBP. With them, their mandate was to coordinate and manage the executive outcome approach, and also to assist departments in identifying and addressing blockages that make departments not to achieve their objectives. Then now, when it was started, our officials and the officials of DPMB met to come up with a tool. So in PSC, we are also doing monitoring and evaluation. We have been doing it all along. But with us then, we concentrate on the nine values and principles. With them, they concentrate on key performance areas. They've got human resource, finances, and all those things where they concentrate. But you can see that the methodology, you cannot differentiate to say here is a clear difference. There is no overlap. There is overlap and duplication. That's why I said you'll find out that we identify challenges. Instead of addressing the root cause, we end up creating something to address. Because now, even if we'll be sending questionnaires to departments, we will be overloading them. Because they'll say, we have received this from the FN tool, but doing this assessment, and here is Public Service Commission also, with their tool. So it's the methodology, but you cannot say here is a clear cut. We are having the citizen satisfaction survey that we always do, but because of capacity constraints, we could not go in all areas. We would just select a few and go there, where we will be making unannounced or announced inspection, where we will be having this questionnaire, asking people coming to get service in the department, how do they feel about the services that they receive from the department? Then they would give us that. Then we would have the report and say, citizen satisfaction survey. Sometimes we will choose Department of Home Affairs or Department of Health where we will visit clinics. Then here they are also having something. It's frontline service delivery. Citizen satisfaction. Then we say, oh, what is happening? Because they were supposed to monitor their outcome. They monitor their executive. Because the executive signed performance agreement with the president. They are supposed
to... Can I just interrupt you, because no longer I have so much time. What I need you to really talk about is how do you think we should navigate around that existence? What do you think should happen in terms of listening? What might become a complete overlap?
We said, because we were looking in our strategic retreat, to say we need now to come with new indicators to strengthen our indicators so that when we go to department, they can see that this is different from the MPEG tool. Because with us, with them, they give the tool to the department to self-assess themselves. With us, we go to the department and do the assessment ourselves, having our officials getting there. What we do, is first go to the EA, introduce that we'll be sending people who come to stay for a week doing this, they need to get information. We said, because we see this thin line between these two departments, what we have to do, because we are mandated by the Constitution to play an oversight role and to promote these values, let's do even what the committee has proposed, to say that all spheres of government needs to be monitored and evaluated on these nine principles, and we must do away with the thematic approach so that you can be able to follow up. So that's what we propose to do as a commission.
Okay, because I was coming to the issue of the relationship between the Public Service Commission and the Public Service and Administration Portfolio Committee. You're thinking around the relationship and what should be put there.
I'm appreciating the relationship that we have with the portfolio committee, and with this recent portfolio committee, we see our concerns being addressed. Just like when National Treasury decided to move us from us doing the financial things alone, taking us to be a program in DPSA, we saw the portfolio committee raising its voice to say this is an independent body. Its independence has not to be sacrificed. It has to receive its finances from the parliament. That's what your proposal. The official said, oh, thanks, but here are people who are supporting our independence. Then also, when I was looking at the HSC of April 2011, then I said, you know, we have been in the box and not thinking out the box. The committee, it means it did look at the way, because we would to the source, and nothing would come out of that. But this time, the committee said, do away with the thematic approach. 2010 and beyond, the following year, its leadership and the indicators are different. We valued what the committee has said because it gave us direction. Because if we are to advise government, when we advise government, all the portfolio committees have to have something to go back to their department. How far are you doing them? Are you improving? You can monitor. But if indicators are different all the time, then you end up not contributing. Then the other thing that we appreciated is we would produce reports, they were tabled, we did not know whether they are taken for debate or whatever to various portfolio committees. You also made that choice that reports of the commission have to go to the various committees, of which we say, yes, that's why we appreciate the good working relationship that we have with the committees, because we cannot be saying we know all. If there are things, because we are reporting to the committee, if the committee feels that the Public Service Commission has to change this, whether we argue in our boardrooms and say we are independent, yes, we are independent, but we are accountable to parliament.
Okay, well, the pity is because of our time, we cannot engage further, as a sitting commissioner. It would be interesting for us to also interrogate other aspects, but I think we have really covered sufficient ground. I just said lastly, to just find out from you, if you were to be retained as a commissioner, what are the things that you think you'll do in order to harness the good work of the Public Service Commission?
If I was going to be retained, number one, for continuity and for the institutional memory, because I'm a little bit now the one who's got 5 years in the committee. The others have just came in, of which they're still grappling with some of the things, because sometimes we say new groom 15, but the older one knows all the corners, because we say these people are bringing change, whereas you don't have to fix something that is not broken. Just like as I said, that we are reporting to parliament, we are accountable to parliament. There are times when you give us an added function through a CAB memo, but it will say everything that you bring to us has to be through legislation. When will that happen? Because we are there to advise. So that's why I said, so that if you retain me, I'll still argue to say some of the things we will change, some of them, they don't need to be changed, because we are there. We have to understand our purpose as the Public Service Commission. The other thing I am leading, I am so passionate about fighting corruption. So I said I even enrolled for the court. There are delicate, sensitive investigations that I'm leading, of which I know that I'm passionate about the Public Service Commission. I always tell them that I'm there 24/7. That's why if a minister has to deliver a report, if I call clock, I don't say silent time, I go there. To me, with this passion, I still there's a lot that can be done, because number one, I wanted the team to improve on the turnaround time when we investigate cases, because the time that we take, by the time the report comes out, it has been already overtaken by events. So I said we need to improve on the turnaround time. I met with the team and I said now we will have to say and gain the life of an investigator so that we see what it is that you are doing, so that we'll be able to finalize cases first. To me, that's the passion that I'm having. And also, if I look at the guys, I've been talking to taking presentations where I have officials knowing that I'm planting a seed to fight corruption, where I'll be telling them that don't live beyond your means. Listen, when you look at the interaction and see that, yes, I am saying something that is being listened to. So I've been talking to officials about the code of conduct, conflict of interest, and all those things. And as I said, that we started with the re-engineering processes. As a commissioner that is at head office, interacting with the investigators and the officials on a daily basis, there are things that I observe, of which the provincial commissioners that are part of the specialist team, don't observe, of which, since we are reviewing these processes, I can't be able to say, this has worked, this is not working, let's improve on that. So since we have started with the process, trying to change the commission, I think that I will miss that if I'm coming back, and the person that will be coming will start afresh getting to know all the nitty gritties, because the commission is a complex thing. That's why people sometimes think that if you are a commissioner, you have to come and go, and you wish forgetting that we are there. We are paid. We have to be there 24/7. So that's why I'm not even serving in any other thing, because I said, thanks God for giving me this, like, to make a difference in our administration. So I think that's a lot that I still have to add.
Thank you very much. I do agree that the commission is quite complex, complicated, you say. It's not an easy assignment. We want to really thank you for this interaction, Menkosi. And just to indicate that, of course, we need to get further to the issues of the provinces, your interaction with the provinces and the capacity. But when we're discussing, you did indicate part of the work that we're starting to prepare in terms of expanding to the other areas, maybe it's a matter that will be discussed, because we are starting, actually we're supposed to have a pre-meeting. We are starting the Public Service Commission just this afternoon, tomorrow afternoon. The department will be presenting again, bringing it back, because it's been in the NCOP. So tomorrow afternoon we will be starting this afternoon morning. Tomorrow morning we'll be starting here after we've presented the report of this work. So that matter is on. But what I can say is that thank you for this. Maybe if you have any other question that you want to ask this panel, now is your time.
And it's not career limiting. what I would like to say is, if the issue of renewal can be looked at, because we end up arguing, all of us, to say, is it renewal or reappointment? Just like as a commission, public service commission, I worked until Friday. I was in my weekend delivering sounds. And as I said, I've got these sensitive investigations that I was leading. Now I left them all hanging. I had to go to church. Please assign other commissioners. As I said, there's a lot that I've introduced, because we're also having the financial misconduct thing, of which I said, what do we do after having the report? Then I said, let's visit department to find out how much has been recovered. Then after that, from the last time when we started with this thing of going to department, there was different interpretation of financial misconduct. When I came back, I said, let's have a workshop. Let's have National Treasury, AG, DPSA, and officials from the various provinces and departments to discuss financial misconduct, what the term entails. Now, with this round, I found out that I'm visiting now departments, because last time it was, we just sample, but now we said let's go full force. I found out that now we need to change the Prescription Act, which is old. When we go to departments to check how much has been recovered, we said, because of the Prescription Act, that when the case is 3 years old, you cannot recover the money. And there are those things that I've discovered, of which we have to take back to say, Commission, how do we go to DPSA as the policy department? The other thing is the pension thing. If I misappropriate funds or have project activities where I have benefited, if the department is not allowed to take from my pension when I resign or when I dismiss, where will government recover the money? Because now the Pension Act says don't recover it unless it is salary related. Where will government recover the money that is lost due to fraud? So those are some of the things that I've been picking up when running this project, of which I have to carry forward. So that's why I say the issue of renewal and reappointment. Now I left everything hanging. So I was just saying that if it can be looked at.
I'm very sure it's not a question. But thanks, you know, you're raising a matter that we actually agreed to, but after the interviews, we'll sit and discuss.
so you are not relevant. But we didn't know what we actually talked about this morning. I would like to thank you, ma'am, and wish you all the best in contributing to the Public Service Commission. And thank you very much, ma'am. You see? All the best.
That's where we can end. Okay, thank you very much. And thank you for giving me this opportunity so that I can share my words of experience of what I've been, whether I gained some freedom, I contributed or not. Thank you.
Okay, let's outline the processes. We will still finalize the report. It will have to go to the committee, and unfortunately, because we are just surrounding a press parliament, would like to just move as speedily as possible. After, if the committee approves what we have done, then that process, that you know, it goes to the House and it does need majority vote into the House, and therefore then the pronouncement can be done. So in other words, it is done in the House largely before it goes to the President for approval. Thank you.
I'll be very concise about this. I've seldom seen a person so focused and dedicated and with a lot of patriotism. And she's what we call in rugby an impact player. Okay? I think we will be irresponsible not to appoint this person. If we can have more of these people staying in positions, it's a value the country can't do anything like this. She's my age, yeah, and she started, you know, from due to apartheid, she started with at least 15 years, back off, and you know, I really am impressed, you know, so that's it. For me, there's no question.
I do support the report. If we did not reappoint or renew, I think we do not know what it is all there. She is very passionate. She's very innovative and she's very analytical. She just gave us a picture that we did not have until now of the relationships, the overlaps, and the sore points, because things are being imposed on them when they are already doing the work, set up other structures, and she made it a very careful job for them. I think we need a solution.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Chair. I think one there to add, the two gentlemen before me have taken every best, that is all. I go for retention.
Okay, no, ma'am, what I want to do now, because we have the oral that we shouldn't be here before we do a decision. Can the lady clean up now? So that we can then start to decide from the next. You appreciate and thank the president. Now we have to really decide for the food.